Okay, so basically what I want to talk about, if you take a look at the first source, it's a source that we're all familiar with, especially at this time of year, that we just had Rosh Chodesh Adar a few days ago. Mi shenichnas Adar marbim besimcha. Right? Everybody's familiar when we start the month of Adar, so we're supposed to increase joy, is the general translation. And the question is, what exactly is that joy? What is that simcha that we're supposed to be involved in right now? So Rashi says on the spot, he says, Yemei Nisim Hayu LeYisrael Purim VePesach. So somehow this is supposed to help us understand the simcha of the month of Adar. It's about Purim and Pesach. But you have to ask yourself, wait a minute, Purim and Pesach are two very different holidays, and they have two very different sort of characters of simcha about them, right? You know, Purim, as we know, is very, you know, carnival-like. Right? And Pesach is very specific and has a lot of mitzvot associated with it, and it's definitely much more sober, let's say. Okay? So what I want to understand is, I want to understand what exactly is the difference between the simcha of Purim versus the simcha of Pesach and all the other yamim tovim. And then I want to understand how that applies to the kind of activities, that the kind of simcha that we're supposed to be marbin, that we're supposed to increase during this month of Adar. Okay? So now if you take a look, I made a table here of halachot. These are basically the really most prominent Jewish laws that distinguish Yom Tov from Purim. And when we talk about Yom Tov, we're talking about the Shloshet HaRegalim, Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuot, or Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. So if you take a look at the first line, it's talking about avelut. So there's a law of avelut that the Shulchan Aruch brings, and it says hakover meito kodem haregel ba'in beinyan shechal alav avelut ve'nahag bo afilu sha'a achat kodem haregel mafsik avelut u'mevatel mimenu gezeirat shiv'a. So he says, so much so are the chagim full of joy, full of simcha, that not only are you not allowed to not mourn during the chag itself, but once you reach that chag, it stops the mourning of Shiva. You were counting 7 days, one, two, that's it. The chag came in, the 7 days are over. Okay, that's how joyous the simcha of the chagim is. And we have to try to understand, what is that joy that overpowers the mourning of the loss of a loved one? Now, on the other hand, you have Purim, which is on the other side, on the left-hand column. So the Shulchan Aruch says, met lo met kodem Purim, upagabo Purim, eno mafsik avelut. So he says, now, just the same case, where Purim is in the middle of 7 days, it does not stop the mourning. Nevertheless, we don't actually have full mourning on Purim. But, and this is amazing, he says, "Lo b'yadar v'yob b'tedvav, ela dvarim shebitzin a noheg." So he says, it's not that the mourning is completely nullified, but in public you don't mourn, but in private you do mourn. Now, that's very different than the Shloshet HaRegalim, where you have no mourning, not in the house, not out of the house, the mourning is over. Okay, so why is it that Purim, even though it's this great day of Simcha, still has mixed with it this element of mourning? The next thing is the issue of drinking. Okay, with the row that is labeled Shichrut or drunkenness. So the Rambam, when he explains how are you supposed to celebrate the holiday, so he says, "Kishadam ochel v'shote v'sameach beregel lo yimashech b'yayin uveschok uvekalut rosh." So he says, when you're celebrating the holiday and you're eating your holiday meal and you're drinking your wine, you shouldn't be drawn after drinking too much, okay? And you shouldn't be drawn after joking around too much. And now if you skip down to the underlined parts at the bottom of that quote, so it says, "V'ef shar la'avod et Hashem lo mitoch schok v'lo mitoch kalut rosh v'lo mitoch shichrut." He says, because it's utterly impossible to serve God through joking around and being drunk. You can't focus on the meaning of the day if you're drunk. So now you look at the other side, the very same Rambam, okay, says to us, discussing the halachot of how we're supposed to celebrate Purim. So it starts off, Ketzad chovat sudazu, how are we supposed to celebrate this joyous meal on Purim? שיוכל בשר ויתקן סעודה נאה כפי אשר תמצא ידו. He should have a very nice meal as much as he can afford. ושותה יין עד שישתכר. And you should drink wine until you are drunk. Exactly the opposite. You are forbidden to get drunk on the holidays, but on Purim you are obligated to get drunk. Right? What can that possibly mean? He told us that we can't worship God in the right way. We can't understand the meaning of the day. So now he wants us exactly to be in that position on Purim. Very strange. What is this about? Okay, and now the next line says Tachanun. So for those of you who are familiar with Tachanun, Tachanun is sort of like this kind of a sad prayer in a sense. I mean, basically we go and we say, listen, we didn't do the right thing and we were jerks and we were this and we were that. And we sort of like, we do some kind of tshuva and it's not so pleasant, you know, when you have to say not nice things about yourself. So Tachanun is not said on Chagim. It's not said on Moed because we're full of joy. And so what business do we have saying all these sort of things that depress us, right? But what's interesting is that the Torah brings the Rav Amram Gaon, this Katav Reish Ayin, Katav Rav Amram Zal, Minhag B'Shtei Yeshivot, Lipol Al Pneihem, Kevan, Shuhu Yom Nes V'Nigalu Bo Tzrichin Anu Levakesh Rachamim, Sheyigalenu B'Achrona Kevreshona, U'Bibitshuva Matzati She'ein Noflin Al Pneihem V'Chein HaMinhag. So what he says here is that the fact is that lahalacha, lema'aseh, the way we act is we don't have tachanun on Purim. But there was a minhag of Rav Amram HaGaon that said that there was a practice, even in these two yeshivot, where they did say tachanun on Purim. Okay? So now, even though if we don't say tachanun, the fact is we also say tachanun on Tanit Esther, which is an integral part of Purim. And so there's this idea where it's not the same simcha. There's a very different kind of simcha going on Purim than on Yom Tov. And now we get to the fourth line, 1, 2, 3, 4. So it says, Lisa Isha, to get married. So you see here, the Shulchan Aruch says, Ein nosin nashim b'moed. You are not allowed to get married on the Chag, on Moed. But on the opposite side, it says, Mutar lisa isha b'purim. You can get married on Purim. All right? So now, two very different contrasts here. Why is this so? So the Gemara tells us why we can't get married on Moed. And it says here, if you look in the underlined part in the middle of that quote, so it's of the Talmud Bavli Masechet Moed Katan, so it says, Lefi she'ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. We're not allowed to have one simcha integrated with another simcha. For some reason, there's a conflict. And so now the Gemara explains, what's that conflict? Mipnei shemeniach simchat haregel, v'osek b'simchat ishto. So he says, now, you know, you're supposed to be focusing on the joy of the holiday, and now you're focusing on the joy of being married. Right? And so then the Gemara ends with this quote. It says in Dvarim, v'samachta b'chagecha, b'chagecha v'lo b'ishtecha. It says, you're supposed to be rejoicing with the holiday and not with your wife. Okay? So that means there's some kind of joy of being married which conflicts and distracts you from the joy of the holiday itself, and so therefore you can't have the two at the same time. On the other hand, with Purim, there isn't a conflict. And the Rama says in his Darchei Moshe, so if you look here on the opposite side, it says, Lo shayach iruv simcha b'simcha b'purim. He says, this doesn't apply. The issue of being distracted by being happy with your wife, with being married, is not a conflict with the joy of Purim. So there's two very, very distinct simchas here. And finally, the last halacha that I wanted to bring to you, even though there's many more, is this issue of night. Okay, on Moed and on Shabbat is what this halacha is talking about. We all know that the holiday begins at night. We light candles at sundown. We go to shul. We come home. We have the festive meal right when you come home, and that's the kiyum of the mitzvah, the fulfillment of the commandment of rejoicing on the holiday. Is the meal at night as well as the meal in the day? On Purim, it's not like that. And in fact, it says here, this last source on the left-hand side, Su'udat Purim she'asa'a belaila lo yatsa yedei chovato. He says, you do not fulfill it. If you came home from shul, you heard the Megillah, and now you come home and you have a meal, that's not it. You did not have the Purim meal. Right? The Rama says, okay, you should do something nice anyway, but it's not the mitzvah of the Sudat Purim at night. So why? Why is this holiday so different from all the other holidays? Okay, if you turn over the page, before we answer all those questions, we have to understand something about Simcha. I want to say that Simcha is Simcha is Simcha. There are not two different types of Simcha. There's one Simcha. And that Simcha is the feeling of satisfaction that comes from realizing that your life has meaning. Okay, that's what Simcha is about. It's not about having fun. Fun is fun, and Simcha is something else. Simcha, again, is the satisfaction of having meaning in your life. And I'll prove that. Okay? First of all, I bring you this quote from Viktor Frankl from his book, Man's Search for Meaning. For those of you who didn't read it, I really recommend it. This book really talks about the essence of man's motivations. And he talks about here in this one quote, he says, logos is the Greek word which denotes meaning. And he came up with this thing called logotherapy, which focuses on the meaning of human existence as well as on man's search for such meaning. According to logotherapy, this striving to find a meaning in one's life is the primary motivational force in man. What Viktor Frankl is saying is that when you peel away all of the motivations of man, you know, he wants to have fun, and he wants to have money, and he wants to have power, and he wants to have all kinds of different things. At the end of the day, what man really wants is to have meaning. He wants to have purpose in his life. Okay? And so man is really trying to fulfill this deep need for meaning. Okay? And the fact is that if you don't have that meaning, so you're running around searching for it or trying to fulfill that void, or fill that void. Now, what I want to say is that ultimate meaning goes even beyond just finding meaning in your own little life. Like, you can find meaning, I find meaning in helping my neighbor, I find meaning in having children, I find meaning in my work, I find meaning in my sports, I find all kinds of meaning for my own life. But if you really want to connect to something big, if you really want to have true meaning, full meaning, so you need to connect to something that's bigger than you, that's bigger than your life. Because if you only define some kind of meaning of your life, so it ends with your life. But if you find something that's meaningful in creation, that's bigger than your life, now you've connected to the meaning of eternity. Now, of course, the only way that you can connect to some kind of eternal meaning is if you connect to the eternal one himself, meaning God. Okay? And that's exactly what Rav Eliyahu Kitov says in his Sefer HaTodah. It says, "Ein simcha shleima." There is no full simcha le'adam ela b'sha'a shehu davuk b'shorsho. He says, there's no full simcha until you're connected with your root, with your primary meaning, I would say. Kachem Yisrael, and this is how it works with the people of Israel. Kochiutam shel Yisrael, the whole essence and the whole life force of Israel, Shehem dveikim b'shorsham, when they are connected to their root, b'chayei ha'olamim, with the eternal existence. Okay, which who is the chayei ha'olamim is basically God. God is eternal existence. And Israel is connected to that eternal existence, and that is how they have complete joy. Complete and total joy is when you connect to eternal meaning, okay? And, you know, on the other side, I don't have the quote here, but, you know, Albert Camus is one of the most famous existentialists, so he talks about the fact that without some kind of eternal meaning, life is meaningless. And there's a great pain in facing that. If you don't believe that there's a God, if you don't believe that there's some kind of greater meaning, so life is not only just empty, but it's painful. How does one, he calls it the weight of days. The weight of days, it's just dreadful thinking that your life really has no meaning. It's only if you accept that there's a creator and that he gave this world some kind of meaning, and you attach to that meaning. How do we attach that meaning? By fulfilling God's will. God created the world for a purpose, and so now when we do his purpose, so now we connect to that, and our lives have complete meaning, eternal meaning. We're dveikim b'chayei ha'olamim. And that's really what the Rambam says here when he says, if you look here, Hilchot Shofar Perchet, it says, Hasimcha sheyismach Adam ba'asiyat ha-mitzvah u'ba'avat ha'el she'tzivah bahen avodah gedolah hi. So he says, this great joy, simcha, is the joy, is the simcha of doing God's commandments. Okay? And that is a great service, he says. So now, what does that have to do? What do these two things have to do with each other? Well, the Magid Mishnah explains pretty much what I just explained before. If you look in these lines here, it says, Amru, it's on the second line of the Magid Mishnah. It starts a Masechet Shabbat Lamed. Amru, Vishabachti ani et hasimcha, zu simcha shel mitzvah. When the verse says, I praised having simcha, I praised joy, we're talking about the joy of a mitzvah. So what does that mean, the joy of the mitzvah? So Magid Mishnah says, ukeshehu oseh masha nivra bishvilo yismach. He says, when you do what you were created to do, so then you will have joy. Basically, what he's saying is, God created the world and created man for a reason. He gave man a purpose in creation. Basically, we're supposed to live like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God wants us to enjoy this world. He wants peace and harmony. He wants the Garden of Eden. Okay, but the only way that we can get there is if we do His commandments. He created the world by looking into this book, which is the Torah. And the Torah is the guide for us to try and achieve the perfection that God had in mind for the world. So that's the great joy. The great joy is taking part in that creation, is taking part in perfecting yourself, in perfecting the world, in striving to reach the Garden of Eden. And we do that through the mitzvah. That's what it means by simcha shel mitzvah, by doing God's commandments. If we don't fulfill His will, so not only do we not take part in the purpose of creation, but we're really going against the harmony of creation, because the mitzvot are the way the world works. Okay? So now, Rav Soloveitchik puts it this way. I think it's very good. He says, et ha-simcha, aliba de halacha. So he says, this joy of simcha, according to halacha, is like this. Nitan lechavot rak ka'asher ha'adam matsui benochachut ha'elohim. So he says, the only way, halachically, that you can enjoy, that you can reach simcha, is if you experience it in the presence of God. Bechol pam shebo omeret ha'torah v'samachta, hi mesayeget v'omeret lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Every time that the Torah says v'samachta, that you will rejoice, it says it with the words before your God. You will rejoice before your God. There is no simcha without God. Just like Camus said, if there's no God, there is no joy. The weight of days is dreadful. It's the only simcha is the simcha before God. Because then you connect to your purpose, and your meaning of life is much bigger than your own little meaning of life. It's the meaning of creation. Okay? So now we can go back to our question, the difference between the simcha of Yom Tov and the simcha of Purim. Okay? Both of these are celebrating the joy of being connected to God's purpose. Both of these are talking about, all of them, they're the same simcha. We recognize that there's a creator, and we're happy that we're connected to this meaning that is greater than our own lives, that we're connected to the Chaye Olamim, to the eternal meaning of creation. But they're very different. They come from very different places. In the story of Purim is a story that God is hidden, right? We talk about Nigla v'Nistar. We talk about God being revealed and God being hidden. So if you look on the right-hand column, so on all the three Chagim, we saw God. Look what it says here. Vayar Yisrael et hayag yad hagadola asher asa Hashem b'Mitzrayim. The people saw God's hand, how He saved them from Egypt. There were no questions. Is there a God? Are you sure there's a God? Maybe there's not a God. Maybe we're just deluding ourselves. No, on Pesach there were no questions. God revealed His mighty hand through massive miracles. Everybody was aware there's a God and He has a purpose, and we move on from there. So too with Shavuot. V'kol ha'am ro'im et ha'kolot ve'et ha'lapidim. When we stood at Mount Sinai, we saw miraculously God's voice. We saw these flames and fire from heaven. We realized that God is giving the Torah. There was no question, is this really happening? It was obvious that there's a creator of the world. So too on Sukkot. on Sukkot, so there's a big machloket, what exactly are Sukkot that we build? So one opinion is that they're the clouds of glory, the other opinion is that they're the actual huts that the Jews were in the desert. But for this to be true, so we're saying basically that the clouds of glory mean God's revealed presence. He brought us through the desert. We saw God. We saw the miracles continued throughout the desert as he brought us toward the land of Israel. In all three of these cases, the revelation that there's a creation, a creator, was completely obvious. Okay, there was no question. On the other hand, so we know in the Gemara it says on the side of that says Purim, it says Esther min haTorah minayin. Where do we see a hint to Esther in the Torah? In Dvarim, va'anochi haster astir. And I, God, will hide my face. Okay? It's a play on words, but it has a lot of meaning. What it's saying is that the story of Esther is the story of Hester Panim, of God's hidden face. God is not revealed. God's name, God does not appear in the story of Esther. If we want to try and see where is God in the story, we have to look behind the curtains. Right? We have to try and search for God in the story. We have to see, wait a minute, was that a coincidence or was that God? Was that a miracle? It's a hidden miracle. I don't get it. Maybe there isn't a God. Maybe the people just did it themselves. We have to look for God in this. It's not obvious. Right? I love to give the example. I mean, you know, the War of Independence here in Israel was a miracle. But people still come and they say, no, you know, the Arabs weren't prepared and we had these tanks and we had this and that. You can look at it like, yeah, it just worked out. Or you can see God's hand there. The same thing with the Six-Day War. No, you know, we had good pilots and we had this and that. Or you can see that it was God's hand helping our pilots. Right? You have to look and see behind the curtain that there is a God. That's what Purim is about. Purim is not about just open miracles. It's about hidden miracles. The holidays, there's nothing to argue about. It's open. On Purim, and in days like Purim, we can argue, is there a God or isn't there a God? Okay? And now this reflects also on the essence of the holiday. So I have this table here called the Mahut of the Chag. Right? What is the essence of these holidays that we're talking about? So if you look at the Yom Tov side, it's all very positive. It's very positive. Pesach, v'lakachti etchem li la'am. God didn't just take us out of Egypt because he said, oh, look at these poor guys, they're suffering, I'll take them out. No, he said, I want to take a people. I'm going to take a people. I'm going to make you into a nation. God had a very positive purpose of taking us out of Egypt. It wasn't just about leaving a nasty place. It was about making a people. And if you look at Shavuot, Va'ata im shamoa tishmu bekoli ushmartem et briti. If you will guard my covenant, meaning the Torah. God is giving us a mission statement. He took us to be a people, but he also gave us a mission statement as a people. We're not just a group of people living together. We have a goal. Okay, that goal is to be the people of the book, to be a light unto the nations. And so Shavuot is a celebration of getting that mission. And then, if you look at Sukkot, so that's the final phase. Laman yedu dorotechem ki besukkot hoshafti et bnei Yisrael behotzi otam meretz Mitzrayim ani Hashem elokechem. So we dwell in Sukkot now in order to remember that God took us through the desert in Sukkot. And the Rashbam says here on these words, he says, ki Hashem elokecha meviecha el eretz tova. The whole point of going to the desert was to come into the land of Israel. What I want to say is that Sukkot really represents that process, this divine and revealed process of bringing us into the land. So if you look at these three holidays, we're talking about the creation of Am Yisrael, with giving us Torah Yisrael, and bringing us into Eretz Yisrael. These are the three pillars of our people. That's what these holidays are about. They're very positive. On the other hand, Purim is nothing like that. What is Purim about? So I read to you these verses from Esther. This is at the very, very end of the whole story. Bayom Shlosha Asar L'Chodesh, on the 13th day of the month of Adar, V'noach, the people rested. That's what Purim's about. We had some rest from our enemies. That's what the holiday's about. V'noach Ba'arba Asar Bo, and they rested on the 14th. V'asa'o Oto Yom Mishteh V'simcha, and they made it a day of drinking and simcha, rejoicing. Vayudim asher b'shushan nikhalu b'shlosha asar bo u'ba'arba asar bo v'noach b'chamisha asar bo. And so the Jews in Shushan, so they got together and fought on the 13th and the 14th, and they had rest from their enemies on the 15th, and so they made that day the day of drinking and rejoicing. V'asa'o oto yom mishte v'simcha. Now in Pasuk Yud Tet, Al Kain, Hayudim haprazim, so the Jews who live in the dispersed areas, hayoshvim ba'arei haprazot, osim et yom arba asar lachodesh adar simcha umishte v'yom tov. So the Jews who were victorious on the 14th, or the Jews who live outside of walled cities like them, they have a day of rejoicing and drinking and yom tov. U'mishloach manot ish lareo, and sending gifts to their friends. Now that was the day itself when the Jews won in Persia. Okay, it was a Yom Tov. But if we read on, now Mordechai sends out letters that he wants to institute something for all the rest of the generations. Vayichtov Mordechai et hadvarim ha'ele, vayishlach svarim el kol ha'yudim asher b'chol medinot ha'melech v'chashverosh ha'krovim v'harechokim. So Mordechai sends out these letters telling the story to near and far. L'kayem alehem liyot osim et yom arba asar l'chodesh adar v'et yom chamisha asar bo b'cho shana v'shana. And so they should have these parties on the 14th and the 15th every year. Now in Pasuk Chaf Bet, kayamim asher nachu bahem ha'yudim me'oivehem. Just like the Jews had rest from their enemies then. V'chodesh asher ne'epach lahem miyagon l'simcha. And this month is a month where our misery turned into joy. Mi'eve l'yom tov, from mourning to celebrating. La'asot otom yimei mishte v'simcha. And we will make them a day of drinking and rejoicing. So you see here also that it's left out the Yom Tov. When they had it at their time, it was Yom Tov. But now what we have, we don't have Yom Tov. We have Mishte V'Simcha. We have a day of drinking and rejoicing. Okay? So now, what I want to say is, they're both Simcha. They're both recognizing God. They're both taking part in the meaning of life that gives us that feeling of satisfaction that our lives have meaning, that we call simcha. But they come from two very different places. The Shloshet HaRegalim come from a place of open revelations, of a positive nature, where God took us to be a people with a mission in a land. It's all very positive, and so we rejoice besimcha. This eliminates any kind of mourning. We are completely happy, and we need to focus on the day. It's forbidden for us to be drunk. We have to focus on the fact that God did all these great things for us, and He made us part of His creation. We're partners in creation. Our lives have meaning beyond what we could possibly ever imagine for ourselves. On the other hand, Purim is about recognizing God in a very different way, in a nistar way, in a negative way. How do we recognize God? They wanted to kill us, and we survived. We should be dead, but because there's a Creator, we're here to tell the story. Look what Mark Twain says. All things are mortal but the Jew. All forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality? What Mark Twain is saying, and he says this before in the longer quote, is if you look through the history of the nations, nations rise, and they stay up for a while, and then they're gone. The Romans, the Greeks, the Egyptians, great and mighty nations. They rose up, and they fell. Nobody hears about them again. The Jews, not only do you still hear us about us, but it doesn't even make any sense, because they've been trying to kill us for more than 2,000 years, and they don't do such a bad job about it. What Mark Twain is asking, how are they still alive? We have no business being alive. We should have been dead a long time ago. We should have been dead just like any of the other nations. But we should have been dead 10 times over, because all the nations try to kill us. In every generation they try to kill us. But we survive. How is it possible? Because there's a God. In Yeshayahu he says, Anochi higadati v'hoshati. I am God and I say I save you. God says, I save you. And so he says, V'hishmati ve'ein bachem zar, and there isn't anybody else who's going to save you. V'atem edai, you are my witnesses. How are we God's witnesses? What do we go walking around with a book saying, look, we're the witnesses, we have this book. Who's going to believe us? Nobody. Nobody's going to believe anybody who's walking around with a book and says, here, I know there's a God, here's my book. No. They believe us, and we are God's witnesses because we're still here. Because Mark Twain can ask this question and say, how the heck are the Jews still standing here? By us standing here, we are witness to the fact that there is a God. If somebody comes to me and says, how do you know there's a God? Maybe you're wrong. I say, because I'm standing here and can answer you, I know there's a God. Because if there was no God, I would not be here. The Jewish people should have been long, long, long gone. We are God's witnesses by the very fact that we are still alive. That's very nice, but if you think about it a bit, it's kind of a negative message. This is proof of God from the negative. It's saying, because we're still alive, there's a God. Yes, they try to kill us all the time, and they don't do such a bad job of it, right? We suffer throughout the generations from pogroms and redifot and inquisitions, not to speak of the Holocaust. But we're still here. We shouldn't be here. The fact that we're here is because God saved us. We are God's witnesses by that very fact, and we rejoice in it. The time we rejoice in it is Purim. Purim is the story of the world trying to eliminate the Jews and not being successful because God, through his hidden hand, saves us time and again. On the Purim of Mordechai and Esther, it was a Yom Tov because they were all saved and everybody was happy. For the rest of us, the story doesn't end so happy. People die for this story to be true. And so the rejoicing is muted. The only way that we can really rejoice about this is if we drink and don't focus on the message. Rambam says, if you get drunk, you will not be able to focus on the day. On Purim, get drunk. We need to rejoice and have simcha that our life has meaning, that there is a creator, that we're connected. But if we think about the way Purim proves that, it's kind of tragic. And so the only way that we can really rejoice is if we distract ourselves and have a carnival. And that's what Adar is all about. Marbim besimcha from Rosh Chodesh Adar is about getting into that mode of realizing that there is a creator by the very fact that we survive. And to really rejoice in that, we have to not concentrate too much on the fact of all the losses that have come to us to prove that we are God's witnesses. So we distract ourselves by wearing funny masks and wearing funny hats and drinking a little bit more than we should. But by doing that, we take part in the eternity that God is and that we as a people are. And so I can only conclude by saying, L'chaim.
Thank you.